relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
He may have been born in Britain, but now his heart is America's. It's your favorite legal immigrant, President Trump's former strategist, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
First of all, I have been struggling with it for a while. I really did think I was going to stop season 16, and because it was a, if you can remember, there was a different president, and it was a different time, and there was a lot of just hatred and anger and stuff that I was just like, this is a... And then my brother was like, you bring so much joy to people. If you stop, you know, then all that darkness wins. You're the light. Like, stay and help people be kinder.
Trump did it. Trump broke her. Ellen DeGeneres has had enough. And who does she... It's not because she's a witch. Because the work environment she creates is utterly toxic. No, it's Trump. Trump did it to me. How sad. Jeff, are you sad?
About what? Ellen leaving?
Yeah, Ellen's gone. She's gone.
I never watched the show.
Well, neither did I. He's implying I watched. He just implied on live radio that I watched Ellen.
I don't know, have you? It was on for 20 seasons. I haven't known you that long.
Are you surprised you watched? She blamed Trump?
No, not at all. It's the best thing to do. It's what you do for everything.
It's what you got to do. Okay, so I want to have a fun. We always, usually on Fridays, we end up kind of just having some fun with the team and chatting. And you had a topic, Jeff. We'll get to it in a second. One of our guests, who shall remain nameless, said today to me, why did the Republicans have to go after Liz Cheney this week? I mean, of all the weeks, the worst week for Biden, couldn't they have focused on that? And I was like, what? We had to get rid of her. Responses, Professor.
The work never stops, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, well, it's not like the left is going to be taking a break anytime, right?
Right?
If the goal is to make things stronger and better, I mean, it might be a bad week for Biden, but it's also a bad week for the institutional GOP.
But was it wrong to get rid of her this week?
Sooner rather than later, I don't
yeah.
see why you would ever put it off. Because the longer that she's in there, the longer that she's doing exactly the reason
Bingo.
They cut her out, which was, you know, speak against the people she's supposed to be representing.
Eric, your response to that?
Yeah, I agree. The left, certainly, the Democrats never worry about patrolling their own ranks. They keep people in line that are problematic.
Yeah, I mean, that you can't dissent, but the idea that they should have left, they should have touched her this week, your reaction?
No, I absolutely think it was she had to go sooner than later. She should have gone the first time, the very first
yes!
time that they voted. But of course, it was closed door, so she got away with it. But again, I think the symbolism, especially being, you know, her having her last name, the sooner we move away from Bush-Cheney era, quote unquote, conservatism, the better for everybody.
Jeff?
I think that it actually made the week worse for the Democrats. Because we see Pelosi, Schumer, all of a sudden now she loves Liz Cheney. The media's defending her. It just shows the hypocrisy.
Interesting. I like that take. Okay, what is the topic you suggested, Jeff?
Well, you don't watch the garbage that I do on CNN.
No, that's why you're the producer.
And MSNBC. And it started last week when Mika started complaining that Donald Trump is crawling his way back.
Oh, yeah, that was a great cut.
And there was a segment this week on Morning Joe. I don't even think they knew what they were doing, but it was Jonathan Lemire from the AP, Mike Barnicle, and Mika and Joe. They were complaining so much. And it was
just that list of names makes me like vomit.
And it actually ties into Liz Cheney. They're complaining so much. The Republicans could have been done with Trump after January 6th. If you look at it, they can realize all of their efforts, still talking about it every day like it happened yesterday. It's falling apart. January 6th isn't working. And they are starting to realize that he's going to run again.
So what you're saying is this thing that they thought would be the atom bomb of political weapons for the foreseeable future, the events of January 6th, and we're just a couple of months later, is already proving to be useless.
Yes, January 7th, they thought they were done with him for
good.
Then they thought the impeachment would work. That wouldn't.
So this is fun. This is totally, we haven't rehearsed any of this. I am convinced, and maybe he's listening, but it's okay. I am convinced, it's something you said to me, Jeff, that the president isn't announcing for various reasons to do with election fundraising regulations. I am convinced of the fact he's running for 2024. What happens when he makes it official, guys?
Oh, they melt down like usual.
I think there's no other result.
But it's
not going to be
qualitatively different.
No.
Because they are convinced he's done. He's toast. He's finished.
Well, it's going to be worse than normal. Right. Obviously.
What does that mean? What does that look like?
Well, so every time you get to extremes, right? It's like if something's 500 degrees, then like why bother if it's 505 degrees?
Right.
You know, but I think that's sort of where we're going to be at, where it's just going to go further and further. And the Trump cycle is going to go from being a 24-hour endeavor to a 48-hour endeavor, where it's just going to be consistent. The funny thing about it to me is this morning I was walking into the office and one of the office TVs, not in our studios, I promise, was playing CNN. And they had a Capitol Police officer, and it was Capitol Police officer recounts the trauma of January 6th. The same thing that Jeff is saying. They're trying to dredge it back up. The funny thing is that 24-hour news cycles, stuff that these guys invented, has taken our attention spans and cut it smaller and smaller and smaller.
Right.
So by the situation that they've created and the way that we engage with news and events has made it so that the thing that we're supposed to do now, which is forget about stuff as soon as possible so that we can learn all this new stuff, is preventing them from keeping the narrative alive, right? The longer that we get away from it, the more it's going to go smaller and smaller and smaller in our memories.
So the news cycle itself is making their plan inoperable.
Exactly. And not just the news cycle itself, because they're trying their hardest to use the news cycle to bring it back up, but just the media situation we're in because of these people and because they have control of the reins.
So, and I think I said this before, but I want to hammer it home, and I want all of you to use this as a talking point. On January the 6th, can we be clear? The only people who died or were killed were Trump supporters. The only people who were killed or who died were Trump supporters. Because, Jeff, what did you find out about Officer Sicknick?
His Twitter account.
Yes. What about it?
Big-time pro-Trump guy.
So the officer who died of a stroke was a massive supporter of Donald Trump. That's a real narrative. So, Eric, what happens? As the man who built our YouTube channel, now our Rumble channel, our social media whiz kid, along with our great, great John, our social media master, what's going to happen when DJ makes it official?
They are going to lose their collective minds because you got to remember, we make fun of Trump derangement syndrome and what they're going through, but you got to remember, they've built an alternate reality for themselves and they believe every single thing they say.
Yes.
It came to a peak when Joe Biden in his not State of the Union address literally called January 6th, quote, the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. They believe that. They actually believe that. That's not an exaggeration. They think Trump is literally Hitler. He's the worst thing to happen to this country. And they're going to, Liz Cheney talks about it, they're going to do everything they can to stop him from running again because they really think he is the worst thing to happen to them. Technically speaking, because he is the worst thing to happen to their elite. He is. But they mean it when they are all, by any means necessary, even if it means burning the country down like they did last year.
Since you are the producer of America First, let me put the question to you thusly. What's it going to be like for talk radio when President Trump announces?
Oh, that is going to be awesome.
Do we even need to prep?
No.
We're just going to come in at, 2:55 to the studio. It's going to be fun, right?
Oh, I'm all up for that. 255 in the studio. I'll take that.
Because he works hard, honestly. Did you hear that? Did you hear? He wanted to get it in front of 3 million witnesses right now that he wants to have an even cushier life than he does. So you're ready for it when he announces, Jeff?
Yeah, but I thought you were going to ask what the left was going to do.
I think they'll
start printing more mail-in ballots.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's why we have to get serious. That's why we've made the decision today. You're going to hear it in a moment with Boris, the Baron. We're retooling our separate podcast. If you're not familiar with it, we've been going for just over a year now. Every week with the Baron, we go deep dive. It's a little bit spicier. It's called The Battle for 1600. And we've made the decision because you know what? The market demands it. It doesn't exist anywhere else. We're going to have a MAGA platform, meaning we're going to provide you with the intelligence, with the intel on the candidates who will bring back MAGA phase two, on the heroes, on the new faces, and also the villains. The people we have to primary and the Democrats we have to absolutely crush. If you're not getting it anywhere else, we are going to provide it. So subscribe now. We just recorded our latest episode, episode 60. We're teasing about what's going to happen in the next iterations. We're talking about what's happened this week. You do not want to miss it. The Baron, Boris, and me, Battle for 1600, wherever you get your podcast, subscribe today, because it will be the touchstone for all things MAGA until 2024. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network. Relief Factor. Pain relief that works, pain relief that is real. Don't take my word for it. Listen to Deborah from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Tens of thousands of Americans are sharing the same story of their liberation from pain. Find out for yourself. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Deborah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call 800-500-8384. That number, 800-500-8384. 8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
From the relieffactor.com studios, this is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
It's happening all over the world. The pushback from the Daily Wire, Ryan Saavedra. France, the government of France, has banned the use of woke, gender-neutral language in schools with the reasoning, quote, it is a danger for our country. And here in America, it is a glorious sight to see, especially in the Commonwealth of Virginia. If you haven't seen this video, it is America Play Cuts.
You should all be fired from your day jobs, because if your employers knew that you were more inefficient than the DMV, you would be replaced in a heartbeat. I literally just finished a conference call because I'm having to multitask to be here to address you guys. You're a bunch of cowards hiding behind our children as an excuse for keeping schools closed. You think you're some sort of martyrs because of the decisions you're making when the statistics do not lie that the vast majority of the population is not at risk from this virus. The garbage workers who pick up my freaking trash risk their lives every day more than anyone in this school system. Figure it out or get off the podium. Because you know what? There are people like me and a lot of other people out there who will gladly take your seat and figure it out. It's not a high bar. Raise the freaking bar!
And do your job. It's not just one appearance. He's done it again. and we want to have him here to talk to our millions of listeners and viewers. Brandon, the man from that video, and Brandon Mikon, welcome to America First.
Thanks, Sebastian, for having me.
So, you know, we've been pushing back on these issues on a national level on this humble radio show for years now. And all we've been waiting, we've been saying it every single week, is for Americans to take back their schools, take back their republic, and get people committed to the truth. And I say, forget about national politics. Forget about the Senate or the state house. Run for the local school board. I have one question. I'm going to be super selfish now. I need to know how you and that black woman in the latest video who said that what is being taught is an utter outrage, critical race theory, is racism and has to stop and has to be banned. I want to know, what was the genesis? I need to know, what made you, what made her say, enough is enough? How did it happen?
Well, look, over the, you know, obviously this last year and now year and a half has been tough on everybody. And what the shutdown of the world economy and a lot of parents having to work from home and do online schooling has done is it's brought attention to the curriculum and all the deficiencies that have been happening within school systems all across the United States. And parents are frustrated and the curtain's been pulled back across, you know, the education system. And what on a video that I posted earlier this week from this current school board meeting is right now we're finding out that they're peddling inappropriate material under the guise of academics.
Yeah, so people need to watch the video. You can follow him at Brandon Mikon, M-I-C-H-O-N. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Brandon Mikon, M-I-C-H-O-N.
It's Michon, but it's okay. It's a French name.
Michon. We will go full François on you. Brandon Michon, M-I-C-H-O-N. Monsieur Michon, the video, I can't, look, I can't for legal reasons say...
You can't play it.
I can't play the cut because of what the kids are being told to read, this sexually just outrageous material. Let's go here. How did we get here? I talk about the unions all the time. You have a board that's there in Loudoun County. As far as you're concerned, how do we even get here?
Well, I think what happened is, you know, people took their eye off the ball. And with regards to the material that's being peddled to the students, I had to have my 5-year-old and 8-year-old, you know, leave the room before I even spoke. My wife didn't even have them in the building when all the stuff was being read. And it's just inappropriate. But what happened is you have elected officials. And as you kind of stated earlier, people care so much about who's running for president of the United States and then vote down ballot on all the other local decision makers. And those local decision makers are the ones who set your local tax rates, your water bill. They're the ones who control who and what happens in your school system. In Loudoun County, where I live, 50 cents of every tax dollar for real estate goes to schools.
Right.
So what's happening is you have elected officials who ask for their leadership. And what I've continued to preach on every avenue that will allow me is these people are volunteering and saying, vote for me, I want this position. And then they get thrust into the leadership and where they have to make adult decisions, and they cower back and they don't lead. And if you don't want to lead, step aside, let someone else do it, or fix the problems that prior administrations put in place and be a leader that way.
So you're talking about a case in which the overboard, the superboard for this incredibly wealthy county is simply not making decisions, not taking decisions. What I witnessed when my kids were high school age is a board that had the activists in it, a board which was fully Democrat and in which they had the desire to pump critical race theory, equity, the sexually perverse material. And here's the shocking thing. In the county where my kids went to school, not one member of the school board had children in the schools of that county. So it's not just what you're doing, and God bless you, Brandon, for what you're doing, but are you at least seeing people with your passion and your conviction actually willing to challenge these people and to run for those positions?
Well, yes, I think what you want is, and what you're seeing is so many more families and across all demographics, across all ages, coming out and saying enough is enough. And the problem is, and I've been asked this, like, well, why don't you run for the school board? Well, the next election is not till 2023. We need leaders today, not 2.5 years from now.
Yeah.
So I can't fix the problems without having an opportunity, and so many others can't. And so what we need is the people who ask to be in those seats to make real decisions, to be leaders, and to step up to the plate. Now, the hard part about it is, you know, people are busy, and not everyone has the opportunity, whether they're work, maybe there's a, you know, someone has multiple jobs and they don't have the time capacity, but they can still care about the education of their kids. And I think this bridges party lines.
Yes.
I think everyone can care about the education, no matter your skin color, no matter your income bracket, no matter what characteristics you have or what you believe, you know, on some of the, you know, harder topics within politics. You can care about the education of your children.
Brandon, we've only got a few seconds left. I want you to stay on the line. I want to talk to you offline. But in the last 30 seconds we have, what do you say to the parents of Loudoun County, the wealthiest county in America? And what do you say to all parents who have finally, thanks to COVID, realized what their children are being taught?
Yeah, go out, get involved, understand what's being taught in the classroom. I've said this, teachers have unions, but the only union for students is the parents.
Yes.
And the parents need to go out and fight for their education. And for Loudoun County or anyone in the D.C. area who knows people in Loudoun County, we have a website, fightforschools.com. You can go up there, get some more information. We're trying to get some of these people recalled. That's a different process.
Fightforschools.com. Brandon Michon, M-I-C-H-O-N on Twitter. We need thousands of you. Get involved now.
Ladies and gentlemen, hailing from the far reaches of the swamp, the righteous writer of wrongs, the triumphant teller of truths, this is the Baron Boris Epstein on America First.
And we have just recorded.
Hear ye, hear ye, ladies and gentlemen. Hailing from the far reaches of the swamp, the righteous writer of wrongs, the triumphant teller of truths, this is the Baron Boris Epstein on America First.
And we have just recorded episode 60? 60 of the Battle for 1600 with my co-host, the Baron. Subscribe today. It's free. Go to your podcast page. Go to iTunes. We are doing a revamp of the Battle for 1600 to make it the MAGA podcast for the upcoming election, not just next year, but for the presidency. You don't want to miss a single episode, especially because of who my co-host is. Former strategic advisor to the Trump campaign, my colleague, former special assistant to the president from the White House, Baron. Welcome back to America First.
Great to be with you, my friend. It's an honor.
We have a lot of stuff to discuss that's happened on Capitol Hill. It's happened in the White House. But first, and we didn't even touch upon this in the podcast because we were so focused on important stuff like cigars and other things. We had, right after the bombing started, we had Ambassador Friedman, President Trump's ambassador to Jerusalem, on the show from Jerusalem, who just spent the night with his three-year-old grandson in the bomb shelter under the building. I have to ask you, not just because of, you know, your Jewish heritage, but because of what the Democrats have said in the last few days with AOC. This is interesting for political reasons, but also for moral reasons. That Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one of the most powerful faces of the Democrat Party, lambasting her own president for not standing by the suffering Palestinians as Israeli schools are being shelled, as Ambassador Friedman's in the shelter with his grandson. Your reaction to any aspect of either what's happening in the Middle East or the Democrats' response to it?
Let's first go big picture, and thank you for having me. Let's go big picture and look at the geopolitical structure, what happened here. Under President Trump and his team, Ambassador Friedman, Jared Kushner, Avi Berkowitz, they put in place the Abraham Accords. They put in place a structure which ensured peace in the Middle East by supporting Israel. United States supported Israel. United States cut off funding for the Palestinians, cut off funding for the program through they used to give money to people who killed Israelis, right? The murder fund they had. United States cut off money to all that. United States took out Qasem Soleimani. United States obviously moved the embassy in Jerusalem, moved the embassy in Israel, the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, and ensured that the United States recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So by standing with Israel, the Trump administration, again, Jared Kushner, Avi Berkowitz, Ambassador Friedman, Jason Greenblatt, others, they put a structure in place which made it possible for there to be peace and prosperity in the Middle East and kept the bad actors like Hamas at bay. President Trump is gone. Joe Biden reinstates the funding to the Palestinians.
$200 million just 2 weeks ago.
And what do we have? Hamas is shelling Israeli schools, is sending rockets into Israeli towns, and yes, Israel, the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, are responding with force. And you know what? If AOC doesn't like it, Ilhan Omar doesn't like it, Rashida Tlaib doesn't like it, well, you know what? That's their problem. Because Israel is always going to stand up for itself. Always going to stand up for itself. And it's actually kind of funny that the AOC is attacking Joe Biden for his response, because his response has been lackluster. And this whole crisis is caused by Joe Biden or whoever really is in charge. Is it Susan Rice? Is it Kamala Harris? Is it Ron Klain? Whoever is in charge of the White House, they are totally at fault for this disaster in the Middle East, because they have not stood strongly enough with our greatest ally in the Middle East and beyond, Israel.
Yeah. Think about what he just said. We have 4 years of incredible four nations brought to the table with Israel through the good graces, the good offices of the Trump administration, the president's team. We were told it couldn't happen. We were told it was impossible without the Palestinians being part of it. Well, we made it happen. There are no sacred cows. Donald Trump had his team create that lasting peace until a new election, well, quote-unquote election, a new administration, hundreds of thousands of dollars unleashed for the Palestinian authorities, and within days, literally within days, the rockets are flying across Israel from the Palestinians, from Hamas. It's a sad thing. I didn't come up with it, but it's right. The truth in the Middle East is the following. If the Arabs laid down, if the Palestinians laid down their weapons, there would be peace. If the Israelis laid them down, there would be a second Holocaust. That's the sad reality. We're talking to Boris Epstein. Follow him, Boris EP on Twitter, Boris_Epstein on Instagram. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Got to talk about the events of the last few days. We are coming to you from the ReliefActor.com studios.
America first.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
You don't say that and listen to this show. Thank you, Mr. President. And the news is in. The news is in. We don't have locations and exact dates, but the Trump rallies are coming back. President Trump next month in June and around July 4th is going to hold a rally. This is what we've been calling for months, is it not, Boris?
Yes, it is. It is major news. It's exciting and it's invigorating for the MAGA movement. And it is just a perfect way to end the week in which Liz Cheney, the person who now personifies, represents the Rhino movement, the person who led the charge from the Republican side to vote for the sham impeachment of Donald Trump, she's one of only 10 people in the House to vote for that sham, 10 Republicans in the House to vote for that sham impeachment. Liz Cheney is gone. She's no longer the GOP conference chair. It is now Elise Stefanik, who represents the future of the Republican Party and the MAGA movement. And here's what's interesting. Even one of the votes for impeachment, Representative Katko from New York, went and whipped votes for Elise Stefanik.
Wow.
Because even the people who, some of the people who voted for impeachment realized, you know what? Liz Cheney has just gone too far. She is no longer in, she's no longer in concert with the constituency of the Republican Party, which is the MAGA movement.
So I unpack this a little bit, because somebody said, hey, she's from Wyoming and she's supposed to represent the views and the desires of those who elected her, and maybe they're anti-Trump. But Boris, that's irrelevant if you're the conference chair, because if you're the conference chair, you don't just represent your constituency, don't you? Do you? You have a completely different role in corralling all the GOP, correct?
One, correct. Two, that statement is horribly wrong in terms of Wyoming, because her, Liz Cheney's, whoever said that, Liz Cheney's approval in Wyoming after her disastrous actions is about 10%. She's been censured. They said resign and return the money.
Censured by the GOP in Wyoming, correct?
Correct. Censured by the GOP in Wyoming. So Liz Cheney is not representing her constituents. If she did, actually, I would say, well, you know, she could speak as a congresswoman for her constituents. But she didn't do that. She's been acting as the congresswoman from Washington, D.C., the fancy cocktail parties in Georgetown, the awfully, awfully crowd, right? The folks who are the Republican Party of years gone by. That's what Liz Cheney has been doing, and there's no longer room for that because it doesn't represent the Republican Party. So those who are saying, oh, well, no, Liz Cheney was just acting as a representative of the Wyoming constituency, they have not done their homework, because the Wyoming constituency is all in on MAGA and President Trump.
I haven't heard that phrase before. The awfully, awfully crowd. I like that. All right, Boris, you know Elise. She has been elected. She's the new chair. Talk to us a little bit. Everybody has to listen to the podcast, guys. Super exciting news about what we're doing next with the podcast for the MAGA movement, for America First. You don't have to put the buffer up. I'm just mentioning it. You don't have to put the buffer up. That's okay, Eric. And you have to listen to the whole episode. But share a little bit with our millions of listeners right now what you know about Elise Stefanik in your personal experience.
I had a great experience with Congresswoman Stefanik last year when I was running the pushback to the Democrat National Convention, and we had a live show called The Real Joe Biden that started as soon as the DNC was over, as soon as there could, you know, whatever that online production was that there was.
I forgot about that. I remember the RNC convention, which is mind-blowing. The video, we know some of the guys who worked on that. But the DNC one, it was like a cheap Zoom call from somebody's kindergarten class.
Remember, and they were doubling up, right? So they had the same people in multiple boxes.
They cheated. They cheated. They duplicated people to make it look like there's a big audience.
Just absolutely pathetic. It was a total disaster. But Elise Stefanik took the time, came to Arlington, and she was there live at about 11 o'clock at night, there live on the show to talk about just how terrible the Biden campaign was, talk about just how terrible the Democrat National Convention was. And that really showed me something. That showed a commitment. You think Liz Cheney was doing that? Absolutely not. And Elise Stefanik was also on a panel with Lee Zeldin and Mike Huckabee talking about the importance of the relationship between Israel and the United States for security. Keep in mind, Elise Stefanik is somebody who's on the Intelligence Committee and Armed Services Committee.
Yes.
She's got major policy chops.
Right.
And she, back then we talked about the vital nature of the policies in the Middle East promulgated by President Trump and his team, Avi Berkowitz, Jared Kushner, Avi Berkowitz, Ambassador Friedman, others, and Steven Mnuchin, and how important those policies were for stability in the Middle East. So Elise Stefanik showed me then that she's all in on MAGA. And then again, this is somebody who pushed back against both sham impeachments, and somebody who did object and did point out all the shortcomings and irregularities in the election of November 3rd.
Okay, that's exactly what I wanted to touch upon in the last minute we have with you. I've got the title for this segment, by the way, Eric, so when we post this on Rumble, Stefanik colon, all in on MAGA. Nicely put. Yeah. Stefanik colon, all in on MAGA. So things kind of contradictory reports coming out of Arizona. What do you know? You were fighting for an election integrity all last year and this year. What should we expect if there, you know, now the code key and the register of votes allegedly has been lost or can't be accessed? How significant is this first audit of the last election?
Unbelievably significant. They're only through about 20%, at most 20%, Sebastian, and they're already finding huge discrepancies. Some of the batches are missing up to 17.5% of the ballots. And they're missing databases. Literally, the database with election results and tabulations is missing. And you have this letter from the president of the state Senate, a Republican, Karen Fan, very strong. She sent it to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. They're asking about missing ballots, missing databases, lack of follow-through on the subpoenas, lack of compliance. Their response is, this is dangerous. We are tired. We can't tell you anything. So if they're hiding, that means they're hiding something. And the truth is coming out. That's why you've got Dominion freaking out, sending screeds like, oh, it's against our intellectual property rights to turn over a password. To turn over a password? That's the administrative key to the election? That is a joke.
Sounds like somebody's watching. There wasn't any election fraud. What have you got to hide? It's only just started. He's the Baron. Follow him. Boris EP on Twitter. Former strategist of the Trump campaign. Former special assistant to President Trump. And my co-host at the Battle for 1600. Thank you, Baron. Have a blessed Shabbos. Have a blessed weekend. I'm Sebastian Gorka, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, are you in daily pain? If you are, don't listen to me. Listen to the people who are using Relief Factor across the nation, like Yvonne from California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom. Pain-free like Relief Factor. Did you hear that? Pain-free. That could be you. That should be you. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Do it today. Call 800-500-8384. What are you waiting for? ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Here's the catch-22. Here's the conundrum, the dilemma wrapped in a challenge. Sleepy Creepy has told his voters, you can take your mask off if you've been vaccinated. But what happens if you're a lib and you give people the stink eye for not wearing a mask? Does that mean that you'll never take it off for fear of somebody amongst your own political clan giving you the stink eye? I can see it now. It's going to take months for some of these people. For me, who, you know, doesn't wear a mask anyway, makes no difference. But I can't wait to watch the conundrum, the catch-22 that these people are in, because they just think that they have to continue to virtue signal. Free yourselves. But here's the serious side of all of this. The children. This is about people who've been vaccinated, and children haven't. So what did this mean? Again, one of my dog walking stories this morning. I walk past the little pre-K near my school. And there's this little garden, this little lawn out front where the kids play in the sand pit and the little faux picnic tables. And I'm thinking, as I was coming up, walking the dog, I was so excited. The kids are going to be free now. They're going to be playing. They're going to be seeing each other's faces and having fun. And as I got closer, I realized I was wrong. Of course I was wrong. Because that portion of the population that has demonstrated the toughest immunity to this Chinese virus is unaffected by the edict from the man who was vaccinated back in December and who's been wearing a mask for the last 4 months. This is the cruelest cut of all. That the people, the humans, that most need to see the faces of their fellow playmates, of the adults who are looking after them, are still masked. It's wicked. It's evil. And it needs to end. There is no scientific justification for continuing to have children wearing masks. But that's where we are. There's one political identity. There's one political side that believes not just in science, but the truth. And it's not the Democrats. Have a glorious Friday, a blessed weekend, and remember, the best is yet to come.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.